Hey, greetings, everybody. It's Brother Tupos, don'tperish.com, John 4:24 radio. Hey, I got a teaching for you today. I think you're going to enjoy this. It's called, But Jesus Never Mentioned That. And it's really an argument from silence. Yeah, that's an interesting title, isn't it? Let's talk about this as you hear the train horns where we're parked tonight. We love the sound of trains. So let's talk about this. This argument from silence. Jesus never mentioned that. Well, I'm going to explain it to you so you get it and so you got it right and don't be deceived by it if other people ever try to bring you this. Let me talk about how it came to be. It happens often, fairly often, but it was a recent communication. First, a verse from the Holy Word of God, Matthew 4:4. And you remember this verse. We're going to get back to it. But he answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. All right, remember that verse. The context was Jesus answering Satan, okay? So again, this is a fairly common argument people have. And it's usually people that are not bent on the truth. They're trying to twist or take away from God's word. It allows them to stay in their lukewarm, worldly, churchianity life, not obeying sound doctrine in holiness. So what they will say is this. They'll say, well, Jesus never mentioned that, so it can't be that important, right? This is the mindset of this argument from silence. So how this came about recently is a man emailed me, and it went really good in the beginning. He first was like a once saved, always saved guy, and then quickly he got to the biblical gospel and said, oh yeah, I see that, you're right. And then I said, he was all over the map, and I said, let's hone in on certain doctrines. And dress had come up because he's got a wife and six children, so he's trying to get his house in order. And I said, you go and look at what God's word says. Here's what I teach on it. I sent him all my articles. And I said, let me know if we agree. Let me know if you can correct me on any doctrine. If I'm wrong, I got to repent and get it right. And let's see if we have unity. Well, he came back, and rather than going to the doctrine and the scriptures and the Greek and the Hebrew, he came back and he said, in Matthew 8, Jesus never told the Roman soldier how to dress, so I don't think it's important. Basically what he said. Let's look at that verse. Matthew 8, 9 through 13. For I am a man under authority, the soldier said to Jesus, having soldiers under me. And I say this to man, go, and he goeth, and another, come, and he cometh. And to my servant, do this, and do he doeth it. And when Jesus heard it, he marveled. And he said to them that followed, Verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And I say unto you that many shall come from the east and the west, and shall sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus said unto the centurion, Go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so it will be done of thee. And his servant was healed in that same hour. All right, so that's the verse he gave me, and he's using this argument from silence that was a Roman soldier, not a Jew, and he just believed, and Jesus didn't tell him anything on how to dress or do anything, so it's not that important. Well, let's look at the context of this verse. Always study in context. So we look at the context. The purpose of that is to illustrate several things. Ready? Number one, Jesus was proving who he was, doing amazing miracles because of people's faith. It was verification of who he was. Son of God, God in the flesh, the Messiah, the Savior. Two, Jesus always praised great faith. I just got done verse by verse through the whole book of Matthew. He always praised great faith, and he always basically rebuked those of little faith. So that man was honored because of his faith. And three, it shows that even though Jesus was a Jew and God had favor on Israel, that salvation and faith was available even to the Gentiles, even to a Roman who would believe and seek him. Did you notice what Jesus said there? He said, many will come from the east and the west and shall sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The children of the kingdom shall be cast into outer darkness. Jesus is saying the Gentiles are going to come in and many of you Jews aren't. That's what he was saying. That's what that context of that verse was. that account that we're told in Scripture was not to give that man a complete lesson in sound doctrine, holy living, or how to dress. Those things always come along as a person's walking, seeking God's truth, reading the Word, led by the Spirit. They get to holiness and obedience. That takes time. We get it. Doesn't happen in one day. So the topic that this man was talking about, as I mentioned, was biblical dress. He claimed Jesus didn't tell the soldier how to dress, so that meant that it's not important. But again, that's an argument from silence. It doesn't hold up because all over the Bible, it tells people how to dress, Old Testament, New Testament. I have lots of articles on that. Plus, I find this ironic, the soldier was probably more biblically dressed than the average man today in America. Why do I say that? Because the soldiers all wore tunics, to my knowledge. Not little shorts, not little t-shirts. Yeah, they probably were armed up like soldiers, just like a man is armed up as a fireman today, with a fireproof suit and a hat and all that. So I find that interesting. He's calling out this Roman soldier. That Roman soldier is probably more biblically dressed than this man who's emailing me talking about this argument from silence. Yeah. So Jesus didn't give him a sermon on how to dress. I get it. But guess what? If we use that fallacious argument, false argument, Jesus didn't tell that soldier not to go kill anybody either, did he? No. Let's see. Is Jesus for soldiers killing innocent people, women, children, men? Of course he's not. Sermon on the Mount teaches us that. So does the rest of God's word, thou shalt not kill or murder. So how can that be if we're going to put clothing in the same category of every other doctrine that Jesus didn't mention to him? So that we'd have to throw out every other doctrine. That doesn't make any sense, would it? No. Now, that soldier can follow Jesus, and if he does, and when the Spirit comes, and if he was born by the Spirit, his entire life changes. Mine did, Sister Amon's did, the saints we know and walk with, their lives change completely. That's going to happen through the Holy Spirit and through the Word of God. Now, in the Old Testament, let me give you some proof here. This is a little sidetrack. The sojourner, the non-Israelite, could join the Israel. Yeah, they could. But they had to obey God's ways as the Israelites did. It was never just believe, as this man's claiming. Oh, the soldier just believed. He didn't have to do nothing. No, it was never faith alone. Faith and works always, always, always go together. Exodus 12:48. And when the stranger shall sojourn with you, that's a person that's not a Jew, not an Israelite, and will keep the Passover to the Lord, let all his males be circumcised, then let him come near and keep it, and he shall be as one that is born in the land, for no uncircumcised person shall eat thereof. So God was saying, make sure you're going to follow my laws if you're going to sojourn with my people. Okay? So back to the idea, Jesus didn't mention these certain things, this argument from silence. Again, this is a flawed way to study the Bible. It's a terrible mindset. It defies what Jesus himself said. Remember I quoted you Matthew 4:4 in the beginning? We live by every word out of the mouth of God. Yeah. This man, in his own way, is abrogating what Jesus taught. Jesus said we live by every word out of the mouth of God. That's everything from Genesis to Revelation that is for us today. That's in context for us today. So we can't throw those things out. What it is also is bad eisegesis. I'm going to make the Word of God say what I want it to say. This man wanted to make biblical dress not important. I don't want it to be important, so I'm going to just use eisegesis rather than using exegesis. Hey, I'm going to look all over Scripture and see what it says about biblical clothing. Doesn't that make sense? If you work for a company, do you just follow page 47 or do you keep all of the rules and instructions in 287 pages? Of course, you keep all of the rules. You'd be fired if you don't. So go look up my articles on exegesis, eisegesis. That will bless you. So Satan, if you recall in Matthew 4:4, quoted a couple of verses to Jesus, and Jesus refuted him, saying, we live by every word of the mouth of God. We don't pull verses out here and there. You catch that? So if you go into God's word and you pull verses out here and there, proof texting or teaching, trying to teach because of silence, you can do things. You're kind of practicing Satan's way. Yeah, don't do that. That's not good. They're practicing exactly what Satan did. I don't recommend it. What this does is this ends up taking away from God's word, which can remove you from the book of life. Revelation 22:19. If any man shall take away from the words of this book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. You don't want to do that. You don't want to take away from God's word. If it teaches us how to dress, act, talk, live, preach the gospel, how to spend our money, how to associate, how to disassociate, how to not do pagan holidays, we better do all those things. Otherwise, we're taking away from the word of God and we're adding to the word of God. We're in grave danger. Yeah. Let's look at another situation where Jesus, let's see what Jesus did in this situation. John 4, the woman at the well. He tells her she's had many husbands and then basically rebukes her. And he says, the one you're with right now is not your husband. Go read that whole account in John 4. Jesus never tells her, leave that man or marry him. Nope. So by this man's theology, from arguing from silence, I guess it's okay to fornicate with somebody you're not married to because Jesus didn't tell her to leave the guy. How ridiculous. That's not what it means, because the rest of the Bible tells us that you shouldn't be having sexual relations with a person you're not biblically married to, right? It makes absolute sense. And so as you go through all these examples where complete biblical theology is not always taught in every case, you don't do that on your job. If there's a minor infraction on a job somewhere, the boss doesn't show up and then sit down and go through the entire 287-page manual. No, he doesn't do that. That's not what he does. You're expected to know that manual as an employee, right? We're expected to know the Word of God as part of our covenant with Christ. Let me tell you who else uses this argument from silence to try and get their way. Ready? There are people, wicked people, that defend bestiality. Yeah, that's sexual relations with animals. Sodomy and abortion. Why? They use the same mindset. Well, Jesus never mentioned anything against them, so they must be okay. How ridiculous. The rest of God's word, Old Testament, New Testament, condemns everything that we teach and believe today. We keep some pre-Torah law, we keep the Ten Commandments, we're resting in Christ as our Sabbath, and we keep the New Testament law. We don't keep the 613 Torah laws. That was for Israel and ceremonial reasons in Israel with a temple, with a Levitical priesthood. But to say that because Jesus didn't speak on it, it's not important, that's an absolute heretical way to study God's word. If it's between Genesis and Revelation, it is Jesus' eternal word. And we are to keep it if it's in context for us today. Many miss that context, by the way. Many think red letter. Ready? Probably one of the worst things anybody ever did was put Jesus' words in red letters. I need to do a teaching on this. Because they've lifted up Jesus' words so high, which is great. Lift up Jesus' words real high. But then they demean the rest of God's word and they don't realize the rest of God's word is Jesus' word. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 14, I've been given the commandments of God. So red letter editions, not so good if it demeans the rest of God's word. So hopefully you see how dangerous this slicing up of God's word is. What we must understand is we must read and keep the fullness of God's word, the New Testament covenant, not discount it, not use this silence to not obey what it tells us in other areas. Everything must be taught accordingly, according to what it teaches us in the word and by the Spirit. That's what it's given for, our edification. Is it not 2 Timothy that says all scripture is given by inspiration for instruction, correcting, reproving? Yeah, all scripture. That means we got to keep all of it. And this man wanted to discount where the Bible tells us how we should dress our temples. This man also was into television and sports. So he's probably going to use the same mindset on those as well. Jesus didn't talk against the NFL. I actually have a man say that to me one time. Jesus didn't say nothing against sports, but yet the rest of the Bible talks about being covetous, being violent, being rowdy, being worldly. Yeah. When a dad instructs his child, does he cover every single rule he's ever covered in the house, or does he just deal with what's at hand? Yeah, you get the picture there. Imagine a police officer. Here's one for you. Police officer pulls you over for speeding, right? So he gives you a warning. He lets you go, and then you whip away from him, and you drive right through a stoplight, stop sign. He pulls you over again, and you go, what are you pulling me over for? And he goes, you just went through that stop sign. and you look at him and say, well, when you stopped me, you didn't tell me that was wrong. He's going to look at you and go, I don't need to cover everything. You're supposed to know it. You have a license. You're driving on the rules of the road. If you're claiming to be a Christian, you better be in that Word of God studying. This man had been in denominational religion for many, many, many years, his whole life. I think he said he was not a serious student of the Word of God. Otherwise, he would have many of these doctrines down pat already. So we got to know. The police officer is not going to cut you slack. God's not going to cut you slack. I just did a teaching not too long ago on Hosea 4:6. My people are destroyed by lack of knowledge. And that just means not knowing God's word, not applying it rightly, not living it. Yeah, we got to know the knowledge of God. Makes sense, doesn't it? So this argument of argument from silence, this is a faulty, false, heretical way. Just because something isn't mentioned in a certain place doesn't mean it's discounted from us or it's not for us and it's not for today. That's a novice, foolish, heretical, self-seeking way. We need to expose it. The Bible says rebuke. You know what rebuke means? To show fault. I showed that man his fault in email. I hope he gets it and comes to himself and gets it right. This is a rebuke to anybody that argues from silence. That is not how we study God's word. Let me give you another really famous example of arguing from silence. Ready? Pre-tribulation rapture, which is a lie. Jesus comes at the end of the tribulation. Matthew 24, he says it. Paul says at the last trump, 1 Corinthians 15. But here's what they say. They'll say that because the body of Christ, they call it the church, let's call it the ecclesia, I like a better word, is not mentioned in Revelation after chapter 4, it had to be taken out. That's an argument from silence. Well, that's an absolute false way to look at it, because the book of Timothy, Titus, 1 Peter, 2 Peter, 1 John, 2 John, and Jude also don't mention the body of Christ. Does that mean those teachings aren't for the body of Christ? I think you see my point. This argument from silence doesn't hold up. Go look up my articles on pre-trib rapture. It's a lie. It's a false hope, by the way. Go look them up at the teaching blog, don'tperish.com. Look up on the teaching blog. Now, on the flip side, there are times when the argument from silence can support a Bible concept. Let me give you an example. No instruments for worship in the New Testament, or no instruments for offering up to God when you gather in the New Testament, or no Christmas and no Easter. Yeah. So people say, oh, that's an argument from silence. Well, it is an argument from silence, but we have other verses that back up what was done in the Old Testament, not to keep pagan holidays. So there are times when an argument from silence can be more valid if the rest of God's word backs up the theology you're promoting. Does that make sense to you? But if what you're promoting using argument of silence is taught in the rest of God's word that's for us today, then it's wrong. So you got to figure out what is a good argument from silence that the rest of scripture can back up that I'm teaching, or what is an argument from silence that's causing me to totally ignore the rest of God's word, because we live by what? Every word from the mouth of God. I hope that made sense to you. We have to give leeway. There are cases where argument from silence can make some sense. Rarely do they. I will say that. Rarely do they. Like pagan holidays is a great example of it actually saying, oh, they didn't practice Christmas and Easter. And people say, oh, just because it's not in there doesn't mean we don't do it. Well, you're adding to God's word. That's not a good thing. You're adding musical instruments. That's not a good thing. You're taking away the biblical dress that is taught there in this man's case. So you see how we have to rightly divide argument from silence? Make sure we're getting it right. Jesus said this, Matthew 28:20, one of my favorite verses, after he said, go into all the world, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. He said, teaching them to observe everything whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Yeah, he said, go teach them everything he's commanded. That's all of God's word that's applicable today. The only thing that doesn't apply to us today is Torah law, 613 Torah laws. Everything else is for us today. Some pre-Torah, I'll say some pre-Torah is for us today. The Ten Commandments with resting in Christ as our Sabbath is for us today. And the New Testament law is for us today. Okay? And Jesus said, teaching them to obey everything I commanded. Why is it important to obey? Because he is the one who made the way for those who obey him. And he said, if you love me, keep my commandments. You want to show your love for God? It's not gushy emotional music. It's not showing up for some religious service for an hour and a half. It's not throwing money in the plate. It's not handing a homeless guy 20 bucks. You want to love God? Jesus said, keep my commandments. Very, very simple. Very, very plain. So for those that are ignorant of God's, people are ignorant of God's full word, I can understand this happening. But to those that aim to get out of obeying the scriptures and holiness, there's no excuse for this. Sometimes you can plead ignorance. Be careful. Make sure you truly are ignorant if you plead ignorance. Paul pleaded ignorance for what he was doing, and he said, I did it, I didn't know. Clearly, he didn't know. Don't plead ignorance. I get people in the street tell me, don't tell me the truth of the gospel. I don't want to know. They're guilty already. They don't want Christ. They're rejecting him before they even know the facts. What a wicked way. So this false way that people use is usually the result of them wanting to stay in their pride, their vanity of dress, their sports, their television, their worldliness, their corrupt associations, their corrupt family members, their corrupt man-made religious denomination. That's my experience. That's why people do this, argument from silence. They want to hold on to what they have. And they'll say, oh, the Bible doesn't say anything about professional bass fishing tournaments, things like that. And that's foolishness. The Bible tells us what we're to be about. We're to be about the kingdom of God, not seeking the ways of the world, vainglory, winning contests, and all of that. So it's pretty clear when we apply the full word of God and its concepts for our lives and holiness, the argument from silence most times is crushed. The Bible doesn't support it because most times people using it, the Bible actually teaches on what they're trying to deny. There are times, like I said, pagan holidays, where we can say that they're not taught, they're not practiced, we don't keep them. And they try to use the argument from silence on that. Here's a warning as I close out here. Jesus told us what happens when we don't receive him, the word made flesh, fully. Ready? Luke 20, verse 18. Whosoever shall fall upon that stone shall be broken. He's the stone, he's the rock. But on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind them into powder. Ouch. That means if you're going to reject some of the word of God, yeah, people say to me, wow, you're too much of a stickler on sin and doctrine. Adam and Eve got thrown out for one sin. I talk about this all the time. Moses didn't go into the promised land because of one sin. Those two priests got turned into charcoal briquettes in Leviticus 10, I think it was, because of one sin. Ananias and Sapphira got destroyed because of one sin. Revelation 21 and 22 says you'll be kept outside of the gates if you love and practice a lie. It says a lie. That's singular. A lie. One lie. Yeah. Grind to powder. You're going to be ground to powder if you're not obeying God's word as fruit that you know him. If you know God and his spirit's in you, you want to obey. You're convicted when you don't. You're fleeing to Christ. You're pleading the blood. You're asking to be cleansed and forgiven. You don't live in willful sin that can't be cleansed by the blood of Christ when you truly know him. Don't be what Brother James said. I just am working through James verse by verse. James 1:22. But be ye doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Yeah, go ponder this. Think about that. Deceiving your own selves. You believe that your argument from silence, even though it's taught in other places in the word of God, you are lying to yourself and God and others. And James says you are deceiving your own self. I never thought there'd be anything worse than being deceived by a false teacher, but it just hit me. Deceiving yourself, that is even worse because you got control over it. That false doctrine didn't just come upon you by a false teacher and spring it on you unawares. You're doing it to yourself because you love your pride, your vanity, your sports, your worldly church system, whatever it is that people defend. So toss out that argument from silence. Most times, it is not according to God's word. Scripture teaches on it. We obey it. Read all of the word of God. As James says, be a doer of the word of God. And this is proving that you are of God by his spirit, by his word. Last verse, Ephesians 5:9. The fruit of the Holy Spirit. If the Holy Spirit's in you, ready? Goodness, righteousness, truth. You're not going to walk in any lies and error if you have the fruit of the Holy Spirit inside you. I hope this has blessed you today. This topic, Jesus didn't mention that argument from silence. There are so many things that Jesus did not mention. That's why we have the Word of God. It's a sure word that instructs us in righteousness and doctrine. We need to keep it for the glory of our Savior, and He is so, so worthy. I'm going to leave it right there. Check out don'tperish.com. Check out all of our resources. You know, I do these teachings. The verse by verses are great. They're the best. I do these teachings. Why? I want to equip you so that you have armor against these false teachers when they come with these arguments. If people catch you with this unaware, it might throw you off guard. But I want to teach you so then you could say, you know what? I think Brother Tupos taught about that. Let me go look up his article and listen to it and test it to the Word of God. And you'll be ready and prepared so they don't come and sweep you away. I want to do what Brother Jude says. Earnestly contend for the faith once delivered, and I want to help you do that as well. So thanks for listening. I hope that blesses you. We're getting ready to go out, stand outside a corrupt, man-made religious place tomorrow on their pagan Easter Sunday. It's actually going to clear up. We're going to hold gospel signs. We're going to preach the gospel, remind people that they're keeping false ways. They must turn or their worship is in vain. I hope your life, your worship of God, your everyday life live is not in vain. Don't use arguments from silence when they don't apply. Seek the scriptures, repent, and obey the gospel. We love you all. Till the Lord lets me come again with more truths for you. May God be praised.